Thank you all for coming, and thank you for your prayers. It's great to look into God's Word. Reading again from let's see. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, time to weep, time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. And this evening, as we consider Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 8 again, we want to again to focus our attention on verses 1 and 2, which state that to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die. Everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die. To everything there is a season. And this word season is defined in Strong's Concordance as an appointed occasion, season, time. An appointed occasion, season, time. And so there was an appointed time for each of us to be born. An appointed time for each of us to be born. You had no say in or control of the time of your birth. You did not choose the date and time of your birth, or the place of your birth, or who your parents would be, or of the circumstances that you would be born into. A rich family, a poor family, a dysfunctional family, a loving, caring family, or an uncaring family, a God-fearing family, or an unbelieving family. All circumstances in which would affect your development from child into adulthood, from childhood into adulthood, and the choices and the opportunities in which your circumstances would present to you. You had no say or choice. You are unique, as only you can be you, and only you can influence the circumstances in which you were born into. I could not be you in your family and have the abilities which only you have to live in your circumstances and to have the influence which you have to all whom come in contact with you during your lifetime. And likewise, you cannot be me, as every one of us is unique, and we are unique because God has made us that way. And so we are all born in time, location, and circumstances according to God's will. So who you are and where you are is not a mistake, as God has a purpose for you. And David the psalmist teaches us This from Psalm 139, and reading from verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. That thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. And just to note that in these verses we see that whether in pitch black night or in the bright light of day, that God sees, hears and knows all. And from verse 13 to 18, David comes to the crux of the matter of a time to be born, as verse 13 states that, for thou hast possessed my reins, that is my inward parts. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. And this word, curiously, is defined as to variegate colour, i.e. embroider, to fabricate, needlework, curiously, by an embroiderer. In this verse, David sees himself in the womb as a needlework, and God as the embroiderer. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfected, and in thy book all my members were written, which in the continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. And so we can see from these verses that God made us uniquely different from everyone else and caused us to be born in time and location according to his purpose. As the needlework, as they do the tapestry. A time to be born and a time to die. And as we have concluded this evening, a time to be born. And as we have considered this evening, a time to be born, we want now to consider a time to die. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits or crops and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease and drink and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Firstly, we want to see that this certain man was a farmer who had a very abundant harvest, and the barns which he had were not big enough to contain his abundant harvest. He purposed to pull them down and to build larger barns to contain his abundant harvest, and that he purposed to retire and to eat and drink and be merry for many years. And then we also want to see that this certain man, a farmer, who did not believe in God, this certain man, the farmer, did not believe in God. And we know this because God calls him a fool. And Psalm 14, verse 1, and Psalm 53, verse 1 states that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So the certain man, a farmer, was a fool because that he did not believe in God. But God said unto him, thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? And Job chapter 1 verse 21 states that, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in these verses we see that the Lord determines the time of our birth, and the Lord also determines the time of our death. That is, when the Lord requires our soul, and also that naked we come into this world. That is, without possessions, and that when the Lord requires our soul, then we leave this world without our possessions, which the Lord in his goodness and mercy has provided for us. And in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 25, we can read about the death of Moses. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And in these verses we read of the death of Moses, and we see that although Moses was 120 years old when he died, that Moses did not die from old age, as his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Moses died because it was his time to die, as God required his soul of him. And God was present with Moses, and God buried him. Then in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 8, we read that, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask, what shall I do for thee before I be taken away from thee? And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. In these verses, And Elijah went over. And these verses we see that the Lord had sent Elijah to Jordan, where the Lord would take Elijah up bodily in a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah's time as a prophet was over. And that Elisha witnessed this and took up Elijah's mantle as a prophet. Then in Luke chapter 9 and verse 28, we read that, "And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, "took Peter, John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem." And in these verses we see that Moses, who was long time dead and buried, and Elijah, who was a long time ago taken up bodily in a whirlwind into heaven, that they both appeared in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ on the mountain, talking with the Lord about his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem, and that Peter, John, and James witnessed this, and that they knew and recognized the two men as Moses and Elijah. And we can also read about the death of two other men in Luke chapter 16, and reading from verse 19, which says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abram's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abram afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abram said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Again, in these verses we read about the death of Lazarus the beggar, who when he died, when his soul was required of him, angels met him and carried him into Abram's bosom. Lazarus' body went into the grave, but his soul was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. Then the rich man died, who remains unnamed, and was buried. That is, his body was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." The rich man died also and was buried. His body was in the grave, but his soul was in hell and in torment of flame. And he could see Abram and Lazarus afar off, and that he felt so thirsty that even a fingertip of water would suffice him, if he could only get it, and requested that Abraham would send Lazarus with a fingertip of water. But there is a great gulf fixed, that there is no crossing over from one place to the other, and so the rich man is still there in hell, torment of flame, after nearly 2,000 years have passed, still desiring for a fingertip of water to cool his tongue. A time to live and a time to die. Then Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 states that, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, And here in this verse we see that death is an appointment which we must all keep. And that there is also an appointment of judgment which we must all keep. As Romans 14 and verse 10 states that, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 states, "For other foundation can no man lay, that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" In these verses we see that all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who have been born again of the Spirit of God will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of their works. And if their works consist of gold, silver, precious stones, which will abide the fire of the Lord's judgment, then they will receive a reward. But if their works are of wood, hay, and stubble, then they will be burned up. That is, their works will be burned up and shall not abide the fire of the Lord's judgment. And those believers will lose their reward, but they will be saved. Okay, they'll be saved okay, but as by fire. Then in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, we can read about the judgment of all unbelievers. That is, every person who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who has not asked him to save them. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And verse 10 states, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Again, in these verses we see that all unbelievers, all those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who have asked him to save them, will all stand before the great white throne of judgment to be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the books of the records shall be opened, and they will be judged according to their works. And their works will not save them, because works cannot save anyone. And that because they are not found written in the book of life, as whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And why? Why? Because they have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why they're cast into the lake of fire. And John chapter 3 and verse 16 states that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And why is he condemned already? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." The argument here is simply put. It is simply put, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to save you, and he will. And you will be born again of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit will witness with your spirit that you are a child of God and an heir, and joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ, who has received the gift of God, eternal life, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and who is also found written in the book of life. And Revelation 21 and verse 1 states that, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, and he shall be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." And in these verses we see that the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ will have their place in the new heaven and the new earth and new Jerusalem, where God himself will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, with no more tears, no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And all this can be yours. All this can be yours. How? Simply by calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and seeking him while he may be found and asking him to save you, and he will. Or else you can remain in your unbelief and find yourself standing before God at the great white throne of judgment, to be judged according to your works, and then to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the devil, the beast, the false prophet, and all unbelievers will be tormented forever. The choice is yours to make, but remember that now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation, and boast not thyself of tomorrow, because for you tomorrow may never come. I read in the newspaper during the week, this week, that an assisted dying bill comes before the Lords. An assisted dying bill comes before the Lords this week, reigniting a profound ethical debate. And the headline reads, "A blessed relief or a step too far." A blessed relief or a step too far. Many people around this world tonight are suffering greatly from illness which causes extreme pain, and who may not have little or any quality of life, and who seek assisted dying. And there are many close relatives of people who are suffering extreme pain and little quality of life, and because of their pain, who are unable to speak for themselves. And so their family would then ask for assisted dying for them, to relieve them of their great pain and suffering, and to free them from their misery. And the argument goes that if we saw an animal suffering such pain, the animal is put down and mercifully released from pain and suffering. And yet we are prepared as people to let our loved ones suffer without showing to them the same mercy. And this is the argument for assisted dying. But when a vet gives an animal which is suffering an injection to put it to sleep, it is indeed a mercy for the animal, because the animal dies and its suffering is over, finished. But as we have read from God's word this evening, that when people die, that they do not die like an animal. They do not die like an animal does, and that their body goes into the grave, but their soul, if they are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, like Lazarus, is carried by angels into heaven. Or if they are an unbeliever, like the rich man, their body is in the grave, but their soul is in hell and torment of flame. Then according to God's word, we see that death is not the end. And for those who are suffering in this life, if they should die without the Lord Jesus Christ being their Saviour, then they will continue to suffer even more so after their body is dead. A time to live and a time to die. As the decision when we were born is God's, so then the time when we should die should be God's. Everybody dies sooner or later, and everybody to some extent suffers in the same way. And if by strength some people live to be over 100 years old, eventually they too will die. So a life lived over 100 years is very short indeed, compared with eternity after death. My father, he died when he was 72, and he was in Murray Curry in the hospice, and he suffered with bowel cancer. But while he was in there, not long after he was first in, he came to know the Lord as his Saviour. And so when he died, I know that his suffering is over, because he's absent from the body and present with the Lord. But if he had remained in his sin, he would still be suffering still. My mother died 8 years later, and she was 80 when she died, and she died from lung cancer, and she suffered with the lung cancer. But praise the Lord, she too asked the Lord to save her, and she is now absent from the body and present with the Lord. So, you know, we sympathise with their great pain, but they're not warned that death is not the end. And if they know the Saviour, then they're free from their pain. But if they do not, their pain continues on. So we ask the question then, where will you spend eternity? Will it be in the new heaven and the new Jerusalem with the Lord Jesus Christ? Or will it be in the lake of fire with the devil and the other unbelievers and flame of torment forever? The choice is yours. Let's read again the hymn 231. Life at best is very brief, like the falling off a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, being time. Fleeting days are telling fast, that the die will soon be passed, that the die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed, be in time. Be in time, be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just too late. Be in time. Fair as flowers soon decay, youth and beauty pass away. Oh, you have not long to stay. Be in time. While God's Spirit bids you come, sinner, do no longer roam, lest your seal your hopeless doom. Be in time. Time is gliding swiftly by, death and judgment draweth nigh. To the arms of Jesus fly, be in time. Oh, I pray you count the cost, ere the fatal line be crossed, and your soul in hell be lost, be in time. Sinner, heed the warning call. Sinner, heed the heed the warning voice, make the Lord your final choice, then all of heaven will rejoice, be in time. Come from darkness into light, come let Jesus make you right, come and start for heaven tonight, be in time. Davey, would you close in prayer?
Father, we give you thanks and we praise you again for the clarity of thy word. We thank you, Father, for our work, for the help you have given us. Yes, Father, there's a time to live, there's a time to die. And as we're prepared, Father, that we have a God, and it's a God of the living. It's not a God of the dead. And we give you thanks and we praise you, Father, for those that are saved, for those that accept you as Lord and Saviour, but one day we'll be with you for all eternity. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so there's everlasting life there, for a choice is there.
Yeah.
We always live by our choices, and sometimes we make good choices, sometimes they make bad choices. And Father, as we've heard there tonight, know that the people who make the bad ones will end up in that place, Father, where they'll know what to be. They'll be in the continual pain as they perish, Father. But Father, those that make the right choices, as taking thee as Lord and Saviour, we pray, Father, that we'll be ever with the Lord. And so we thank you, Father, for the clarity of the word. Pray you use it to your glory. Pray you draw men and women to yourself, Father. And pray, Father, that we can say it's been good to be here, for again we met afresh with the Lord. Because we know that we're on the winning side. There'll come a time, Father, that we'll all be going. You'll be coming to take us to what thyself. And we'll meet you in the air. And we'll all be changed, and we'll be like you. What a day that will be, when my Saviour I shall see. And so pray, Father, that none of us would be so foolish to reject thee as Lord and Saviour. And we commit it to you and into your hand. And thank you, Father, for undertaking for our vow tonight in the Saviour's name. Pray you, Lord, you take us from this place, take us to our home in safety. And let nothing befall us by the way. And if Father, when we again return on Wednesday, when we come to sit at thy feet in the Saviour's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, David.